some of the scientific facts conveyed in the verses of the Quran has to do with the formation of rain on the earth. In a verse, the fecundating characteristic of the winds and the formation of rain as a result are mentioned. And we sent the fecundating winds, then caused water to descend from the sky, therewith providing you with water in abundance. Surat Al-Hijr 22. In this verse, it is pointed out that the first stage in the formation of rain is wind. Until the beginning of the 20th century, the only relationship between the wind and the rain that was known was the wind's driving clouds. However, modern meteorological findings have demonstrated the fecundating role of the winds in the formation of rain. This fecundating function of the wind works in the following way. On the surface of oceans and seas, countless air bubbles form because of the foaming action. The moment these bubbles burst, thousands of tiny particles with a diameter 1/100th of a millimeter are thrown into the air. These particles, known as aerosols, mix with dust carried from land by winds and are carried to upper layers of the atmosphere. These particles, carried to higher altitudes by winds, come in contact with water vapor up there. Water vapor condenses around these particles and turns into water droplets. These water droplets first come together and form clouds, and then fall on the earth in the form of rain. As seen, winds fecundate the water vapor floating in the air with the particles they carry from the sea, and eventually help the formation of rain clouds. If winds did not possess this property, water droplets in the higher atmosphere would never form, and there would be no such thing as rain. The most important point here is that this critical role of the winds in the formation of rain was stated centuries ago in a verse of the Quran, at a time when people knew almost very little about natural phenomena. Another fact given in the Quran about rain is that it is sent down on earth in due measure. This is mentioned in Surat Az-Zukhruf as follows. It is He who sends down water in due measure from the sky, by which we bring a dead land back to life. That is how you too will be raised from the dead. Surat Az-Zukhruf 11. This measure in rain has again been discovered by modern research. It is estimated that in 1 second, approximately 16 million tons of water evaporate from the earth. This figure amounts to 513 trillion tons of water in 1 year. This number is equal to the amount of rain that falls on the earth in 1 year. This means that water continuously circulates in a balanced cycle according to a measure. Life on earth depends on this water cycle. Even if people had used all the technology in the world, they would not be able to produce this cycle artificially. Even a minor deviation in this amount would very soon give rise to a major ecological imbalance that would bring about the end of life on earth. Yet, this never happens, and the rain keeps falling every year in exactly the same amount, just as is revealed in the Quran. Among the scientific miracles of the Quran, there is also various information given about the seas. One of the properties of seas that was very recently discovered is related in a verse of the Quran as follows. He has let loose the two seas, converging together, with a barrier between them. They do not break through. Surat Al-Rahman 19-20. This property of the seas that converge together yet do not mingle with one another at all has been very recently discovered by oceanographers. Because of a physical force called the surface tension, the waters of neighbouring seas do not mix. Caused by the difference in the density of the seas, surface tension prevents the seas from mingling with one another, just as if a thin wall were between them. For instance, although the Mediterranean Sea and the Atlantic Ocean meet together at Gibraltar, their temperatures, proportions of salts, and properties of density do not change. The reason for this is that there is an invisible barrier between them, as stated in the verse. Another piece of information given in the Quran about seas is about the general median in deep seas. In Surat An-Nur, it is stated, "Or they are like the darkness in a deep sea, which is covered by waves, above which are waves, above which are clouds, layers of darkness, one upon the other. If he puts out his hand, he can scarcely see it. Those God gives no light to, they have no light." Surat An-Nur 40. This median in deep seas is described exactly parallel to this verse in Surat An-Nur. In the book named Oceans, this median is described as follows. "The darkness in deep seas and oceans is found around a depth of 200 meters and below. At this depth, there is almost no light. Below a depth of 1,000 meters, there is no light at all. Human beings are not able to dive more than 40 meters without the aid of submarines or special equipment. Human beings cannot survive unaided in the deep, dark part of the oceans, such as at a depth of 200 meters. For these reasons, scientists have been able to discover these detailed pieces of information about seas only recently. However, the statement of darkness in a deep sea was used in Surat An-Nur 1,400 years before. It is certainly one of the miracles of the Quran that such an information is given in a time when no equipment to dive into the depths of the ocean was available." Until fairly recently, it was thought that a baby's sex was determined by the mother's cells. Or at least, it was believed that the sex was determined by the male and female cells together. But we are given a different kind of information in the Quran, where it is stated that masculinity or femininity is created out of the sperm poured forth into the womb. That he created pairs, male and female, out of a drop of sperm, as it is poured forth. Surat An-Najm 45-46. The improving disciplines of genetics and molecular biology have scientifically validated the accuracy of this information given by the Quran. It is now understood that sex is determined by sperm cells coming from the male, and that the female has no role in this process. Chromosomes are the main elements in determining sex. Two of the 46 chromosomes that determine the structure of a human being are identified as the sex chromosomes. These two chromosomes are called XY in males and XX in females because the shapes of the chromosomes resemble these letters. The Y chromosome carries the genes that code for masculinity, while the X chromosome carries the genes that code for femininity. Formation of a new human being begins with the cross combination of one of these chromosomes, which exist in males and females in pairs. In females, both components of the sex cell, which divides into two during ovulation, carry X chromosomes. The sex cell of a male, on the other hand, produces two different kinds of sperm, one that contains X chromosomes and the other Y chromosomes. If an X chromosome from the female unites with a sperm that contains an X chromosome, then the baby is female, If it unites with the sperm that contains a Y chromosome, the baby is male. In other words, a baby's sex is determined by which chromosome from the male unites with the female's ovum. None of this was known until the discovery of genetics in the 20th century. Indeed, in many cultures, it was believed that a baby's sex was determined by the female's body. That was why women were blamed when they gave birth to girls. However, 13 centuries before human genes were discovered, the Quran revealed information that denies this superstition and referred to the origin of sex being not with women, but with the semen coming from men. If we keep on examining the facts announced to us in the Quran about the formation of people, we again encounter some very important scientific miracles. When the sperm of the male unites with the ovum of the female, the essence of the baby to be born is formed. This single cell, known as the zygote in biology, will instantly start to reproduce by dividing and eventually become a piece of flesh. This, of course, can only be seen by human beings with the aid of a microscope. The zygote, however, does not spend its developmental period in a void. It clings to the uterus just like roots that are firmly fixed to the earth by their tendrils. Through this bond, the zygote can obtain the substances essential to its development from the mother's body. Here, at this point, a very significant miracle of the Quran is revealed. While referring to the zygote developing in the mother's womb, God uses the word alaq in the Quran. Recite, in the name of your Lord, who created man from alaq. Recite, and your Lord is the most generous. Surat al-Alaq, 1-3. The meaning of the word alaq in Arabic is a thing that clings to some place. The word is literally used to describe leeches that cling to a body to suck blood. Certainly, it is not a coincidence that such an appropriate word is used for the zygote developing in the mother's womb. This proves once again that the Quran is a revelation from God, the Lord of all the worlds. Another important aspect of the information mentioned in the verses of the Quran is the developmental stages of a human in the mother's womb. It is stated in the verses that in the mother's womb, first the bones develop, and then the muscles form which wrap around these bones. We then formed the drop into a clot, and formed the clot into a lump, and formed the lump into bones, and clothed the bones in flesh, and then brought him into being as another creature. Blessed be God, the best of creators. Surat al-Mu'minun 14. Embryology is a branch of science that studies the development of embryos in the mother's womb. Until very recently, embryologists assumed that the bones and muscles in an embryo developed at the same time. For this reason, for a long time, some people claimed that these verses were in conflict with science. Yet, advanced microscopic research conducted by virtue of new technological developments has revealed that the revelation of the Quran is word by word correct. These examinations at the microscopic level showed that the development inside the mother's womb takes place in just the way it is described in the verses. First, the cartilage tissue of the embryo ossifies. Then, muscular cells that are selected from among the tissue around the bones come together and wrap around these bones. This event is described in a scientific publication with the following words. During the seventh week, the skeleton begins to spread throughout the body, and the bones take their familiar shapes. At the end of the seventh week, and during the eighth week, the muscles take their positions around the bone formed. As this definition makes clear, Man's developmental stages, as they are described in the Quran, are in perfect harmony with the findings of modern embryology. However, the pieces of information given in the Quran, which are exactly parallel to embryology, are not limited to these. In the Quran, it is also related that man is created in a three-stage process in the mother's womb. He creates you stage by stage in your mother's womb, in a threefold darkness. That is God, your Lord. Sovereignty is His. There is no God but Him. So what has made you deviate? Surah Az-Zumar 6. As will be understood, it is pointed out in this verse that a human being is created in the mother's womb in three distinct stages. Indeed, modern biology has revealed that the baby's embryological development takes place in three distinct regions in the mother's womb. Today, in all of the embryological textbooks studied in the faculties of medicine, this subject is taken as an element of basic knowledge. For instance, in basic human embryology, a fundamental reference text in the field of embryology, this fact is stated as follows. The life in the uterus has three stages. Pre-embryonic, first 2.5 weeks. Embryonic, until the end of the 8th week. And fetal, from the 8th week to labor. These phases refer to the different developmental stages of a baby. Information on the development in the mother's womb became available only after observations done with modern devices. Yet, just like many other scientific facts, these pieces of information are imparted in the verses of the Quran in a miraculous way. The fact that such detailed and accurate information was given in the Quran at a time when people had scarce information on medical matters is clear evidence that the Quran is not the word of man, but the word of God. Another miraculous aspect of the Quran is that it revealed beforehand a number of important events that would occur in the future. The 27th verse of Surat Al-Fath, for example, gave the believers glad tidings that they would conquer Mecca, which was then under the occupation of pagans. God has confirmed His messenger's vision with truth. You will enter the Masjid Al-Haram in safety. God willing, shaving your heads and cutting your hair without any fear. He knew what you did not know and ordained, in place of this, an imminent victory. Surat Al-Fath 27. In close consideration, the verses seem to announce yet another victory that will take place before the victory of Mecca. Indeed, as stated in the verse, the believers first conquered the Khyber fortress, which was under the control of the Jews, and then entered Mecca. Another piece of news that the Quran gives about the future is found in the first verses of Surat Ar-Rum, which refers to the Byzantine Empire, the eastern part of the latter Roman Empire. In these verses, it is stated that the Byzantine Empire had met with a great defeat, but that it would soon gain victory. The Romans had been defeated in the land nearby, but after their defeat, they will themselves be victorious in a few years' time. The affair is God's from beginning to end. Surat Ar-Rum 1-4. These verses were revealed around 620 CE, almost 7 years after the severe defeat of Christian Byzantium at the hands of the Persians, when the Byzantines lost Jerusalem. Yet it was related in the verses that Byzantium would shortly be victorious. In fact, Byzantium had then suffered such heavy losses that it seemed impossible for it even to maintain its existence, let alone be victorious again. Not only the Persians, but also Avars, Slavs, and Lombards posed serious threats to the Byzantine Empire. The Avars had come as far as the walls of Constantinople. The Byzantine Emperor Heraclius had ordered the gold and silver in churches to be melted and turned into money in order to meet the expenses of the army. Many governors had revolted against Emperor Heraclius, and the empire was on the point of collapse. Mesopotamia, Cilicia, Syria, Palestine, Egypt, and Armenia, which earlier belonged to Byzantium, were invaded by the idolater Persians. In short, everyone was expecting the Byzantine Empire to be destroyed. But right at that moment, the first verses of Surat al-Rum were revealed, announcing that Byzantium would gain triumph in a few years' time. Around 7 years after the revelation of the first verses of Surat al-Rum, in December 627 CE, a decisive battle between Byzantium and Persian Empire was fought at Nineveh. And this time, the Byzantine army surprisingly defeated the Persians. A few months later, the Persians had to make an agreement with Byzantium, which obligated them to return the territories they had taken from them. At the end, the victory of the Romans, proclaimed by God in the Quran, miraculously came true. Another miracle revealed in these verses is the announcement of a geographical fact that could not be discovered by anyone in that period. In the third verse of Surat al-Rum, we are informed that the Romans had been defeated in the lowest region of the earth. This expression, Edna el-Ard in Arabic, is interpreted as a nearby place in many translations. Yet, this is not the literal meaning of the original statement, but rather a figurative interpretation of it. The word Edna in Arabic is derived from the word Deni, which means low, and Ard, which means world. Therefore, the expression Edna el-Ard means the lowest place on the earth. Most interestingly, crucial stages of the war fought between the Byzantine Empire and the Persians, when the Byzantines were defeated and lost Jerusalem, had really taken place at the lowest point on earth. This specified region is the basin of the Dead Sea, which is situated at the intersection point of the lands belonging to Syria, Palestine, and Jordan. The Dead Sea, lying at 395 meters below sea level, is the lowest region of the earth. This means that the Byzantines were defeated at the lowest part of the world, just as is stated in the verse. The most interesting point lies in the fact that the altitude of the Dead Sea could only be measured with modern measurement techniques. Before that, it was impossible for anyone to know that it was the lowest region on the surface of the earth. Yet, this region was stated to be the lowest point on the earth in the Quran. Hence, this provides another evidence that the Quran is divine revelation. All that we have seen so far shows us an apparent fact. The Quran is such a book that all the news related in it has proved to be true, and facts that no one could ever have known at that time were announced in its verses. Certainly, this provides clear evidence that the Quran is not the word of man. The Quran is the word of God, the originator of everything, and the Almighty, who encompasses everything with his knowledge. In a verse, God remarks on the Quran, "If it had been from other than God, they would have found many inconsistencies in it." Surat An-Nisa, 82. Not only are there no inconsistencies in the Quran, every piece of information it contains reveals the miracle of this divine book more and more each day. What falls to man is to hold fast to this divine book revealed by God and receive it as his one and only guide. In one of the verses, God calls out to us, "And this is a book we have sent down and blessed. So follow it and have fear of God, so that hopefully you will gain mercy." Surat Al-An'am, 155. This program is based on the book by Harun Yahya, The Miracles of the Quran.